Please be seated. I had an experience this morning. I ought to share with you. But there's something to learn from that. Praise the Lord. So this morning I had an experience. And we benefit from that. This is not where somebody made it for me from Lagos. And somebody made it for me from Lagos. They made two of them. One of my daughters, and I haven't worn it for a long time, and I said, I got to wear this thing today. I need to show appreciation for all the effort. And I didn't know that I didn't have black shoe to go with it. But there's a type of shoe you wear, cock shoe to go with this. I forgot I didn't have cock shoes, and I didn't even know where my cock shoes were, because every time I have visitors, I move my things out of the room for them. And by the time they go, I don't even know where some of them are. So, I got home from where I went this morning, and I said, oh my God, I need a shoe. I told my wife, I said, I'm heading straight to Walmart. And she said, church is in the next one. I said, I can't go barefooted. I need to wear something. So I drove fast to Walmart in Corning, and I found out they were selling only rubber shoes. So I rushed back. And immediately I came in, listen to this, they lost me. Why did you ask me? And he told me what to get the shoe. He said, go behind this and there, you have shoes. And I went there and found I had black shoes, three pairs. He told me, he said, move there. You have shoes. He said, why didn't you ask? You acted on your wisdom, on your impulse, on your emotion. He said, that's the way you do it. He said, look at the effort you wasted. Look at the time. Look at the gas you spent. Look at the running around. I would have solved this thing in 1 second. And when I got there, I found this shoe that Pastor Victor bought me. Beautiful shoe. And they were selling rubber one. Can you learn a lesson from that? Praise the Lord. So we are talking about a faithful and wise steward. What are we talking about? Faithful and wise steward. Luke chapter 12, verse 42. Luke chapter 12, verse 42. I need to have time up here. Okay, fine. Luke chapter 12, verse 42. And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season. It's true that we're talking about Father's Day, and it's talking about, you know, the master of the house, the head of the home, the father of the home. But this also applies to everybody who has responsibility. Sometimes for circumstances, women really have this responsibility too. So we're talking to everybody this morning. It's not just to men. We're talking to men and women. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, from verse 1, it says, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So we are all stewards of the mysteries of God, stewards of what God has invested in our life, stewards of the revelations that God has given us about himself, stewards of good health that God has given you, stewards of the money that God gave you, stewards of the family that God gave you, stewards of the job that God gave you to feed you. We are stewards. Every one of us, we are what? Stewards. And so, we need to also understand that when we don't know what we have, we can't really be good stewards. They were acting some plays here on Thursday, and then one of the people that went to heaven. I wish heaven was like that. Because we're watching them going to heaven one by one. And then this one that came, went to heaven, when he came, he said to God, nobody gave me any gifts at all. Maybe he was going to check his gifts at the post office. He said, nobody delivered anything to me. So I had no gifts at all while I was on earth. And God said, no, I gave you some gifts, but you didn't use them. There there are sometimes we look down on the giftings that God has given us. There are sometimes we look down on the things that God has given us for which we should say what's over. It's not only when it's big in our eyes that we can use it. Even the small thing that God has gifted you with, you can use it to good effect. It doesn't have to be huge. Can I hear amen? It doesn't have to be huge. As a matter of fact, God uses small things. Small things. And he can use small things to do bigger things. So sometimes we don't even know that we have things that God has given us to be stewards over that we can use to benefit our family, to benefit people that we have influence over. We are sitting there and saying, I'm hopeless. I have nothing to contribute here. I have nothing I have in my hands. And you are looking at yourself and saying, I'm not a pastor. You don't have to be a pastor. Praise the Lord. All you have to be is to be a human being. And so, you know, the disciples of Jesus, when there was a little bit of problem, a little bit of challenge, and Jesus said to them, what do you guys have to resolve this thing? They said to Jesus, we have nothing. He said, no, we have something. And they said, but we have a little boy here that has a few fish and what? Yeah, and Jesus said, that's all you need. You don't need a lot. They said to Jesus, hey, do you understand the challenge? If we walk every day here for 10 years, we'll not get enough money to buy food to feed these people. Jesus said, I don't need that much to do something. All I need is, give me your what? Serve me with your what? Come on, serve me with your what? Come on, serve me with your what? Give me the little. And they brought the little. And the little made the need of people. And then you know when Peter was going to the temple called Beautiful, there was a lame man there. And Peter recognized that God has given him something. He said, I don't have silver and gold. Because sometimes when you don't have money, you think you have nothing. You think it's always, money is not the only thing that has value. Sometimes when you are broke, you feel so bad because you think, well, since I'm broke, then I can't be useful. No, you can. The other things that God has what? Give me. And Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but I have something else that God gave me. He said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. He was a steward of the revelation that God has given him, and he had used it to benefit somebody who needed it. Peter didn't sit up there and say, whoa, this man is lame from his birth. This is a huge problem. What can somebody do about it? No, he said, I have something that can solve this thing. It's not silver. It's not good. But I have faith in it, and I know it works. Can I hear amen? Okay? So, you know, you can pray for your family, for instance. You pray for your family. It's very useful. Don't look down on it. Wake up in the morning, you pray for your children, you pray for your husband, you pray for your wife. You think because the windows are not shaking, that it's not useful. It is very useful. Can I hear amen? It is what? Very useful. Somebody told us a story at the convention, how his grandfather was deaf. Couldn't hear. So the grandfather would pray because he couldn't hear. His voice was loud. And he was a little boy growing up, so he would hear the grandfather pray from his own room. But the grandfather didn't know he was loud because he couldn't hear. And so he would hear the grandfather pray for him, telling God to make him a preacher. And then the grandfather had passed away. And years has come now. And today that man is pastoring one of the biggest churches in this Washington, D.C. And he stood up there and said, I still remember the prayer of my grandfather. He said, the Lord spoke to me one day and said, it is answer to that prayer that you are seeing today. But supposing the grandfather said, well, I have nothing. I just have nothing. No, he had something. He could pray. Can I hear amen? You can pray. You can pray for your children. You can pray. You can pray. The prayer of the righteous makes much power what? Available. You can pray. And then How about your children see you pray? How about them see you pray? Our general supervisor was giving a testimony how she was praying. And then her little daughter was, you know how these children come? You know, sometimes they crawl over you and then they don't even know you're praying. And then the little daughter was coming and the Lord said, don't open your eyes. Keep praying. And then the little girl came, I was saying, Mom, and Mom was what? And then the little girl climbed on top of her. And the Lord said, don't open your eyes. Keep praying. And she said, the Lord told her, I said, this experience will teach this little girl something about prayer. She will not forget seeing you pray. And because you didn't open your eyes, we tell her that this is serious what? Let your children see you pray. Let them see you pray. Let them see you study the Bible. You are being a steward. You are stewarding what God has given you. Can I hear amen? You don't have to be a pastor. Just study your Bible. Let your kids see you. Hey, Dad, what are you doing? I'm studying my Bible. Really? Yeah. How about leading family prayer? How about leading family prayer? Very, very crucial and very important. And then you can motivate them to be a good disciple of Jesus Christ just by your life, just like Chuka was saying, just by your example. Getting up early and being excited about going to church, about serving Jesus. Do you know the church is the body of Christ? The church is what? The body of Christ. There was one brother who was so miserly he wouldn't give to God. And so every time they bring the offering something, he would murmur it in his heart. And one time, the usher brought it and he looked up and it was Jesus holding the thing. That brother broke down. You know what Jesus was telling him? This is my body. What you do to this body, it's my body. I walk through it with this body on earth. If you want to serve Jesus, you're not going to see him physically. We are going to see him as his church. Can I hear amen? You see him as his church. This is his body. So how about the people you have influence over, see your commitment, your passion in serving Jesus? That's being a steward. When I married, the first thing we did was to buy a small bell for family prayer. You ask why? Because my father had a particular time. He would ring the bell. And once he rang that bell, you better do what? Show up. Everybody must what? Show up. And you know, because of that practice, I never was going out at the night. I don't know what it means to keep late night. I never kept late. Never. Because Papa would ring that bell, and he must be there. And my daddy couldn't talk much. But if he has some red lines, you must go to church. If you don't go to church, you are out of his house. There's no negotiation about this one. Sunday morning, you must what? Even though I will go there and be doing like this to the other children. And then if they don't do back, I'll go and push them. But he still wanted you to be there. I was doing that, I was a kid. But believe you me, something was what? Steward of what you have. Steward of what you have. How about your presence in the house? Just your presence. The fact you are home. That is home. How about that? You think it doesn't matter? It matters. One of the major problems we have today is kids who were raised with absentee fathers. Your presence makes a lot of difference. Let your kid come and run to you and carry that baby. Action speaks what? You say something to and go. You don't have to have money. But show them love. Right here. these are little things we think is not important. No, they are very, very critical, very important. If we can do that, we are stewarding what God has what given us. And when crisis arises, you be a faith lifter. What did I say? Come on, say it louder. Come on, say it louder. What is a faith lifter? You lift people's faith what? Up. You be a faith lifter instead of a faith destroyer. You be an encouragement, an encourager instead of a discourager and a discourager. You be an edifier, somebody who instructs and educates people to improve morally, to improve spiritually, to improve emotionally, instead of producing confusion and perplexing people. Always try to be a faith lifter. Always try to be what? A faith lifter. Because challenges do come. Things do happen in life. And people fester. The Bible says when they say there's a casting down, you say there's what? You be a faith lifter. A faith lifter. A faith lifter. Do not forget this word. You be a faith what? Lifter. Always be. The devil is busy trying to destroy people's confidence. Trying to destroy them. But you don't walk with him. You did the reverse. You lift them up. No matter what they've done, be a faith what? Praise the Lord. So you when you become an inspiration to somebody, that's being a steward. That's being a steward. You see, you're stewarding with what God has given you. Ability to inspire people. Ability to make them see, whoa, come on, come on, come on, come on. All is not lost. All is not lost. There is hope for you. And you put them out of depression. Now, sometimes because we have challenges ourselves, we think that if I have a challenge, I cannot be useful in encouraging people. But that's a lie. To tell you the truth, when you have a challenge is when you have the best time to encourage others. Because now you've been there. Can I hear amen? I'm there, man. Check me out. When you have a challenge, most of the time we throw the towel. We think we are useless. We think, oh, what else? I can't do anything much because I have a challenge. No. It's a teaching moment. You want people to see how you handle your challenge. And God can use it to touch somebody else's what? Life. Because of the things that happened to me, I know people who call me and say, we've watched your life. It shows us that there is God. And that's a letter that a sister wrote to me. I said it to a couple of them. He said, Pastor, because of the things you suffered in life, he said, I thank God for the things you suffered. Yeah. He said, because God used it to prepare you, and through your teaching, God saved my life. How many of you read? I said it to some of you. I said it to him. I forwarded it to him, right? He said I would have been dead by now. But because of what you suffer, when you talk with conviction. He said, and because of what you suffered, I realized that God can pull me out of my own. So when you have challenges, do not throw in the towel and think you are useless. No, you are not useless. Somebody is watching you. It's an opportunity to tell somebody that there's a God where? In heaven. It's an opportunity to charge somebody up. Actually, believe you me, it's a privilege. You are really in a special position to speak and people will listen to you. Because you are not making it up. You are right in fire right now. And you are still worshiping. You are still praising. You are still glorifying God. You are still shouting everywhere. Somebody will take notice of you very easily. So if you have a challenge in life, can I assure you that you are not useless? God needs you. Can I hear amen? I said, God what? Needs you. God needs you. Praise the Lord. I didn't hear anything. I said, praise the Lord. I remember before we came here, a couple came to us. He said, man, I need what you guys have. He said, pray for me. I need what you have. What did I have? I didn't
didn't have much, but he was seeing something else. He was seeing something. He was seeing excitement. We were serving the Lord just very excited. We didn't have much. No, in terms of the physical things of this world, he couldn't come to my house asking for to have what I have, because he was a big bank manager. But he was seeing something else. Joy, joy, joy. Joy every day. Hey, Jesus. There is joy. That joy you can't buy. I said, that joy what? And in silence, that's where you can show people that your faith in God is real and serious, and you're not making this up. The joy of the Lord, they will see it and it will ignite them with faith. You see, have you had people say, if this person can sing, then I can what? I can sing. So we have something to, you can always look at yourself and see what God has given you that you can use at any time. See, you are never useless. You are never useless. You are never useless. Come on, say it again. You are never useless. Say it again. You are never useless. Somebody went to the hospital. I was going to use the restroom. And the lady there said, he said, hi, how I wish I could use the restroom on myself. He said, how I wish. How I wish I could get up on my own and use the restroom. How I wish. And you can use the restroom on your own and you can get around. Just because the challenge is there, you think your life is finished? Are you kidding me? God is just starting. Give him some time and be patient. Can I hear amen? Give him some. The Bible says you have need of what? Patience. Give him some time. Be patient. You're healthy. You get up in the morning. You eat what you like. You don't know the value until you lose it. So because you have a challenge doesn't mean you are useless. It means you can use that situation and let others see that even in this, that God is still God. If you hear me, say amen. Philippians 1:4. That's what Paul said. Philippians 1:4. Paul said that. He said, that's Philippians 1:4. No, that's not what I want. Maybe I missed it. Forget about it. But Paul was talking about, he said, my bond, my suffering has encouraged other people. That instead of discouraging them, it has emboldened them. That they are now preaching the gospel. That instead of my suffering discouraging them, that it has now what? Emboldened them. Because they saw his spirit in the midst of that. They saw the joy he maintained. They saw that his faith was genuine right in the midst of that. Actually, that's what reveals the type of faith we have. And that's the kind of faith that can touch somebody's life. Amen. You know, sometimes, even in success, you can be a pain in the neck. You can be a success and be a pain in the neck. You can be a success and be a brat and be proud and think, because I've succeeded, nobody can be. We are him. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. Now, there are things that make us ineffective. If you're happy and you know, you say amen. There are things that make us ineffective as the words of God's grace. I'm messing. I want you to listen to this. Everybody listen to this. Because if you come to any average church, majority of them are not where I'm talking about. The people that are in the inner circle of God are not me. They're never me. They're never me. Any church you go, they're never me. Forget that we come to church and we sit down here and what? As I'm talking to you, some people are not even here. They're still asleep. I'm telling you, it's the normal thing that happens in any church. If you go to any church, draw a circle, the inner circle of God, very few are there. Very few. The rest are out of God. Sleeping. And that's why you come to church, January, December, no change, nothing. But they're sleeping. They don't hear. I'm taking it. Nothing at all. I want to talk about it. I want to talk about it. Because I want you to see. get out of that place and go to the inner circle. Because that's where the things are happening. When we dwell in the carnal things of this world, to the detriment of the spiritual things, we become spiritually stagnant. Once you become spiritually stagnant, there's no more spiritual growth. No growth in Christ, no growth in faith, no growth in love. When you come to that point, you become a withered hand. Yeah. You are still coming to church, you're still Pentecost. But Jesus said, you are now salt that has lost what? Its taste and usefulness. And watch them. They're never in any ministry. They're not doing anything. They're so comfortable with coming in, going out. Don't want anything that will discomfort me. Hallelujah. You don't serve God like that. Let me tell you the truth. That's a withered hand. Seriously, withered hand. I want you to listen to me. Because if you're with that hand, you will lose every single spiritual battle. And all you do is complain. Find fault with people. When you dwell mainly in the carnal things, you spend your time mainly in the carnal things, my brother, my sister, with all the love I have, you are going to end up stagnant. Because there's no growth in knowledge. There's no growth in wisdom. Let me tell you something. The way life flows from Christ to you is through His Word. It's through His what? That's how that thing flows. That's how that thing keeps flowing. But when you cut it off and give yourself to all this, there are a lot of kind of things that people do. A lot of kind of things. Oh boy, pleasures of this world, entertainment, and we're in the capital of entertainment called America. America loves entertainment. Everything must be put in the form of what? Entertainment. Even their politics is now entertainment. Everything in America has to be. If it's not entertainment, they're not listening. Movies, they worship movies. You don't have time for Bible. You don't read Bible. You don't even pray much. And then on Sunday, you drag yourself in here, sleep half through the service, and go home. Jesus said, you have become salt. That has lost what? It's taste. He said, you're withered man. That's what it is. Because what you are getting is trickle of life. It's not trickling in. But it's supposed to be a flow, not a trickle. You just trickle in. And you become spiritually lethargic. What does it mean to be lethargic? Huh? No. What? No spiritual vital signs. You don't have spiritual vital signs at all. I'm being honest. Your spiritual muscle has no tone. Am I right? Is that correct? What is having tone? No, sir. Your spiritual muscle has no tone. That's why you sleep after this. Because your life is filled with carnal stuff. And you live your life in carnal things. You don't live your life in Christ. Most of the things you do is carnal things. Carnal thinking, carnal stuff, and your confidence is in all those things. But when the chips are down, those things can't help you. Can I hear amen? So you see, they have no desire to drink from the water of life. No desire. Once we go home from church, boom, that's over. That's over. No desire, no serious desire. Brethren, for you to grow spiritually, you must be disciplined. There's a battle you must win to grow spiritually. You must put your flesh under what? Control, and decide that I'm studying my Bible and I will pray. Whether you like it or not. You don't come to Bible studies, it's not pleasure to anybody. You, am I telling lies? When you wake up, it's a struggle. Because the flesh won't want you. But if you don't do these things, you don't give yourself to the scripture, you don't give yourself to prayers, you don't want baptism of the Holy Spirit so that you are endued with power, you are not serving, you will be spiritually detected. Praise the Lord. Jesus said in John 15:6, if a man abide not in me, if a man what? Abide not in me. What does it mean, abide not in me? Does not live in my word. In my word. Does not live in me. Is living in the living word. Living word. Living word. The living word is not controlling you. They said he is cast forth. He is cast forth as what? A branch. And is what? Wither. Why? It's not taking in the sap. Wither. And men, he didn't say God. This is not God. This is men. Men gather them. He didn't say God. He said it is men that will gather them, and men will cast them into what? The fire and their what? But do you know what he's talking about? He said the devil will use human beings to deal with you. Do you know the fire of the book of Genesis? He said they will throw you there. And then burn your faith, burn your excitement, burn your passion. Destroy everything. And you are going to church will be, you know, way bad. That's not the place you want to be. Amen. I said amen. I said amen. I said amen. I said amen. The solution is Acts 6:4. Acts 6:4. But we will give ourselves continually to what? Prayer and to what? Mr. Bill. How many of you eat in the morning, you don't eat in the afternoon? And you don't eat in the evening? In fact, as I'm talking, some of you are hungry already. You eat in the morning, you eat in the afternoon, you eat in the evening. Continually we eat to keep this physically strong. That's what the Bible says. Continually. 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 Continue. We give ourselves what? Continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Luke 8:18. So pay attention to how you hear. So pay attention to how you hear. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. Jesus is saying, when you listen to my word, there will be a flow of life. More understanding will be given. More revelation will be given. More sap will come. More moisture will come. The flow will keep on coming. If you listen, if you listen, if you listen, if you listen, it's conditional. If you listen to my teaching, and when God talks about listening, he's not talking about just listening. He's talking about doing. When God talks about listening, it's not just talking about listening because the book of Romans said it is not the one that listens that is blessed. It's the one that does. Church, say amen. So if you listen and do, he said there will be a flow of the sap. There will be a flow of moisture. There will be a water, flow of water. And you'll be like a tree planted by the what? River. Yes, and you don't wither. And you bring forth fruit in this season. Acts 1:8. But you will receive what? Power. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses telling people about it. Have you ever asked yourself, why is it that a lot of people say they are baptized in the Holy Spirit, and yet they live a powerless life? Baptized in the Holy Spirit. And yet there's no power. Praise the Lord. I want to show us two people. One is lethargic. One is withered hand. And one is full of life. One is full of sap. One is full of God. I want to show us how they were stewards of what God gave them. And then you can see the difference. Look at Romans chapter 9, verse 4 to 5. Romans chapter 9, 4 to 5. This is Israel of God. The Bible describes them. They are the people of Israel, chosen to be God's what? Adopted their children. God revealed his glory to who? To them. Come on, follow me. He made what again? Covenants with them. And gave them what? His law. He gave them the privilege of worshiping him and receiving his promises. Incredible investment that God made in Israel. Incredible. Look, let's read it again. Bring it back. They are the people of Israel, chosen to be God's what? Adopted children. God revealed his glory to them. That he revealed his power to them. He made covenants with them and gave them what? His law. He gave them the privilege of worshiping him and receiving his wonderful promises. These are these people. Now here comes challenge. Let's see all this investment that God made, how they were stewarding it. 1 Samuel 17:4. First Samuel 17, verse 4. Then Goliath. Everybody say Goliath. Then Goliath, a Philistine, champion from Gath, came out of the Philistine ranks to face what? The forces of Israel. He was over 9 feet tall. The next verse. He wore a bronze helmet, and his bronze coat of mail weighed how much? 125 pounds. That is, if you weigh yourself, you can now see what he's wearing as armor. He also wore bronze leg armor, and he carried a bronze javelin on his shoulder. Verse 7. The shaft of his spear was as heavy and thick as a weaver's beam, tipped with an iron spearhead that weighed how much? 15 pounds. His armor bearer walked ahead of him, carrying a shield. Verse 8. Goliath stood and shouted a what? What is a taunt? Mockery. Across to Israelites. Now, these are the people of God that God gave all those things we read. Don't forget it now. God gave them the revelations of God, gave them covenant, gave them everything. Don't forget it now. So this man stood and shouted a taunt across to the Israelites. Why are you all coming out to what? Fight, he called. I am the Philistine champion. But you are only the servants of what? Are they servants of Saul? But you see how the devil started. He gives you wrong identity. He removed God from the identity and said you are servants of Saul. Choose one man to come down here and do what? Fight. Verse 9. If he kills me, then we will be your slave. But if I kill him, you will be our slave. Verse 10. Keep going. We are going to go all the way to verse 10. I defy the armies of Israel today. Send me a man who will what? Fight with me. Verse 11. When Saul and the Israelites had this, now these are the people of God. God gave covenant, gave a revelation of his glory and everything. And when Saul and the Israelites had this, they were what? Terrified. And what else? Deeply shaken. With their hand. It's part of everything God gave. This man stood there and shouted. They were terrified. They were deeply shaken. Now look at verse 16, 21. 17, 16, sorry. Go back to 16. And the Philistine drew what?
Yeah.
Morning and evening. For how many days? I want to stop here and tell you something. If the devil wants to attack you, that's his method. He will draw a morning what? A constant, persistent, diabolical, mischievous, subtle attack on your emotion. He's not letting up. He will bombard you in the morning, bombard you in the afternoon, bombard you in the evening. He will keep doing that or he breaks you. That's what he does. Morning. Why does he need to do that morning and evening? Because the morning one is running away, so he comes back in the evening. And he does that 40 days. That's what he does. Brethren, I'm serious. This is metal. It hasn't changed. He will bombard you morning, evening, morning, evening. Your husband doesn't love you. He doesn't love you. See what he's doing. If I see what he told you. Are you going to take this? Are you not going to? What kind of person are you? See, okay, watch him now. Do you know where he went? Who told you where he went? Did he tell you where he was going? In the evening, when he comes back, he came back. Watch him. See the way he's walking. Even the way he greeted you. Is that the way a lover greets? So he doesn't care about you. He didn't even buy you. Telling the truth. I'm not joking. Morning, evening, you are sick. This sickness, it kills you. It's not going. In fact, you pray now, but nothing is happening. Can't you notice? It's not going. You wake up in the morning, he waits for you. You are going to bed, he waits for you. You wake up 1 a.m., you say, what's the pain? What's the pain? It's cancer. I'm not kidding you. This wisdom, that's what it does to me. And that's why the scripture says to God, meditate on the scripture day. How do you think that somebody, so a marriage that is so going so well, all of a sudden, they are looking at each other like they are strangers? Somebody has been hitting us once hard, relentlessly, until bam, he breaks through that. You pray, he comes and says, who told you God? I said, how do you know God? Did you feel the anointing? Okay, after you pray, watch. What happened? Nothing happened. Okay, see this. It didn't work. Did you see anything? With no difference. And he will permeate your mind ceaselessly. Try and enter an aircraft. He will say it's going to crash. You start sweating before the thing takes off. Any turbulence, you say, you are finished now. This is going down. And then once you start, people start, Lord Jesus. Why do you think people do that? He's pummeling their mind, frightening them, harassing. If you can't get it, he will harass you as much as he can. If God gives you anything, the devil will try his best to make you not enjoy that. I'm telling people the truth. I'm not kidding you. Praise the Lord. Without hand, can't stand it. Without hand, has no strength. They push him and push him and push him. He succumbs. He starts grumbling. Oh, yeah. I've been praying. God, remember me. Remember me, Lord. Is God remembering you when God says, I've written you at the palm of what? How can God forget you when he said, I will never... start complaining, you start murmuring without hand, and you start blaming people without hand. It's no strength, spiritually touched. So let's continue to read. What's the next verse? And the Philistine drew near morning and evening, presenting himself. How many days? 40 days. The next verse, please. Come on. I don't have time. Come on. For Israel and the Philistines have put the battle in array. Army against army. And David left his supplies. Is that the next one? And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. Oh Lord, I'm not going to say that. Yeah, okay, I have to. I back up. I have to back up. He says to me, I need to remind you that if the devil wants to give you his gift, it's the same thing he will pummel your mind on what I'm saying. He will harass you until you take that and think that it is from God. So let's go back. Now the Lord told me, say, back up and say, now, 23. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up again the what? The champion. The Philistine of Goliath by name out of the armies of the Philistines and spake what? According to the same words. So David heard them. All the men of Israel, when they saw the man, they did what? Fled from him and were dreadfully. I want to ask you a question. Up until this time, has Goliath drawn a sword? So what is pursuing them? What? No. What? Is what? Just what is what? There hasn't been one spare moved. No battle has even taken. All the man does is come out and say, you show up here, I'll finish you. And all he used was what? Not one single engagement has taken place. Nothing. I'm begging you to listen to me. He's not going to do anything big. It's the same thing he used against them, he used against me and you. His word. That's all. Up until this time, there hasn't been, no sword has been moved. Nothing. So he comes in the morning, he billows and says, hey, you show up here, I eat you up. Who do you think you are? And everybody, they run. The only thing he used was what? All they had was, nobody even made an attempt and said, let me try it out. It's the same thing he does to us. He uses what? I want you to think about the trials and the things the enemy has brought you. Is it not worse? Harass you. You are going to die. Don't you know this is excuse me? You are finished. In fact, there was one time I woke up and I don't know how I woke up. I had some headache. He said, you have aneurysm. So you know what you have? He knows every medical term. He said, it is bleeding. He said, you are dead in that money. He said, why you are? You can't even get to hospital. What? Everybody say words. Come on, say it again, words. Come on, say it again, words. And I drew my sword. I said, I too have words. Somebody shout hallelujah. I said, I too what? I said, you are the one doing that. And that thing belongs to you. In my covenant, it's not part of it. And before I can't do it in the name of Jesus, take your property and what? Get out of it. And don't you bother myself. And I slept like a baby. What verse did we read last? 21. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were so afraid. 25. And the men of Israel said, have you seen what? All they do is complain. People, without hands, all they do is complain. They find, if they come to church, they will find 10 faults. Everybody has faults except them. They are spiritually blind. They don't know much. Look at that. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel, he said, come up. And it shall be that the man who what? Killeth him, the king will what? Enrich him with great riches. You see what they're doing? What people do today? They're looking for prophets, they will pay. Looking for prophets, what? They will pay to fight their battles. That's it. So if we find anybody who will do what? Fight this man. We give him the king's daughter, give him riches, and make his father house free. Then we won't pay taxes. How about that? We won't pay taxes anymore. See, the same pattern is playing out. The same pattern. Without hand, he can't stand up. Has no spiritual strength. So he's looking for a prophet. And he's prepared to pay anything. If you are following me, say amen. Then came one boy who has been feeding on the word of God. Somebody shout hallelujah. He's been feeding. He says, thy word have I hid what? In my heart. That I will not what? Yes. He says, even if I pass through the valley of the what? Shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. Because the Lord is what? With me. He's been feeding. He knew God. He understood this thing. This boy said, I was glad when they say, let us go where? Into the house of God. He's not dodging church. He is not dodging church. He's not dodging Bible studies. He said, your word is more precious than gold. That's this boy understood what I'm telling you. He was well fed. He was well fed. He was full of life. He's not withered. He is not withered. He is not withered. He is not withered. He showed up. 12-year-old boy. He's not by age. Oh my God. He showed up. He showed up. When he showed up, he had that thing. He got angry. He said, oh wow, what a minute. Something interesting is going on here. Oh boy, boy, boy. Praise the Lord. So the boy came. Spirit filled. 1 Samuel 17:32. A faith lifter. You can't be a faith lifter because I say so. You have to grow to be able to be a faith lifter. He said, then David said to Saul, let no man's heart what? Fail because of him. Don't worry about that. Your servant will go. I don't need a prophet. I don't need a pastor. The Lord is with me. I'm going. We go and fight with this what? Faith. Then the withered hand spoke. Listen to the withered hand. And Saul said to David, you are what? Not able to go against this. To fight with him. For you are. And he's a man of what? From what? He said, you can't handle this. Withered hand. Spiritually blind. All he sees is carnal stuff. I want to tell you people something. When that Goliath was talking to David and saying, did you come here to, do you think I'm a what? What he didn't see was that David was dressed in the armor of God. He didn't see that. David had an invisible what? Somebody shout at him. David was ready. He was a killer. He had a sword. Goliath could not handle. Goliath was talking of physical sword. But David had a sword of the word of God. David had it. Man, he was dressed up in the full armor of God. But Goliath was blind. Saul was blind. They didn't see it. Only God saw it. Somebody shout hallelujah. So without hand, say, you can't handle this. You can't handle this. And then look at verse 38. And Saul armed David with his what? Armor. He put an helmet of brass upon his head. Is that the armor of God? And also he armed him with a coat of let's see what he puts on. They continue. Then David spoke to them. No, that's not where we are. We are in verse 39. In verse 39. And David gathered his sword upon his arm, and he said to go, for he had not proved it. And David said, what did David say unto Saul? I cannot what? Go with this thing. I cannot stop. And I have not. I don't use them. That's what it is. I don't use them. But I have some other things I use. And David put them what? Do you know why people won't study the Bible? They don't know that that's the source of faith. That when the battle is done, that is arming them with the sword. They think that these carnal things will have the money in your bank, the money you're making, the family just shall be. They think that that is what we find righteous for them. So they put it up and they feel confident and relaxed. And you say, how about Bible study? I say, Pastor, you know, I'm so busy. I'm really so busy. Pastor, you don't understand this America. There is a Goliath that will show up. All those things will come. I'm not kidding. You haven't seen things. I've been passing. I've seen people start go down in 24 hours. Shameful in 24. You see them, who recognize them? The battle has come. One girl, I think it was my daughter, Jess, that sent me something about a woman that lost her husband to cancer. He said the church will stop all these officials. He said, when the kids are done, I need Jesus. He said, give me Jesus. He said, now I'm facing. People should read that. He said, now I'm facing situations. I don't need any coffee shop. I don't need any of these things. I need Jesus now. He said, I'm a widow now. The pain of losing my husband, my children. He said, I don't want any fancy stuff. Take it away from me. Give me the word of God. It's time to do battle. Somebody shouts hallelujah. It's time to what? Battle. All the money the husband left her, I could not solve that problem. I said to that today. Verse 26. No, let's go down because I want to close. Verse 34. Am I communicating with you? Verse 34. But David persisted. I have been taking care of my father's sheep. And did you see the word persisted? Because the enemy was also persistent. So he do what? Persisted in his testimony. So then he began to give testimonies about God, what God can do. He said, I've been taking care of my father's sheep and goats. He said, when a lion or a what? Bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, what happened? I go after it with a club. I rescue the lamb from his mouth. If the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and club it to death. Verse 36. And I've done this to both lions and I will do it to this pagan Philistine too. For he has defied the armies of the living. The devil said to them, you are servants of Saul. David said, no, you got it wrong. We are servants of God. We are the armies of the living. We are not servants of Saul. He makes all the difference. So in verse 37, verse 42. So the Philistine came. Where are we? Verse what? 42. So snaring and content at this pretty faced boy. I said, am I a dog? He roared at them. Did you see that? Trying to intimidate him. That you come at me with a stick. So are you crazy? Think I'm a small boy. And he cursed David by the names of his gods. So when they say we'll curse you, you can laugh at it. It's been done before. And they didn't have anything. I shall come over here and I'll give your flesh to what? The best and wild animals. Goliath yelled. He roared. He yelled. Intimidation. Then what has happened there? Then said David to this Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a shield. But I come to thee, what? He said, I have a weapon. You can't handle it. At the name of Jesus, he said, I have a weapon. I'm dressed, totally dressed. My sword you don't see, Goliath. My armor you don't see. My shield you don't see. I have a shield of faith. I have helmet of salvation. We are the armies of God. We are not the heathens. He said, I had the sword of God. I have the name of God Almighty. How dare you stand? I'm coming with it. Somebody shout hallelujah. He's not withered. You don't get this level by being withered. You can't. This man has been feeding on the word, feeding on the word, feeding on the word, feeding on the word. Go and see what he wrote in the Bible. And when the tears shut down, he was ablaze. He was firing on all cylinders. He was out to do the thing. He ran. He didn't walk. He ran to Goliath because he knew in whom he has what? Believed. His arm was not withered. This is not withered arm. This is the branch of the son of David. That's the branch. That's the branch. A steward of what God gave him. This is the man that was a real faithful steward of all the benefits that God bestowed on Israel. Only one boy was a steward. Only one boy was using it. Only one boy put it to use. Saul and the rest of them, including his brothers, who were also withered hands. You are running. The strength of Israel will never lie. Somebody say amen. Never. God is looking for a man. He's not looking for a leader. He says, strengthen the hand that has what? Come. Strengthen. All this periphery thing is to your own. You're just dealing with it. Because challenges will arise, you realize that you put yourself in a spot where you can handle it. But today, we must move forward. I said we must move what? Forward. I'm going higher. Yes, I am. I'm going higher today. I'm going above the shadows into the presence of God. Into the presence of Jesus. I'm going higher today. Hallelujah.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org where you can listen to other teachings freely or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.